all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit provides information on how you can lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm the host, Josie Bidwell. Search for and subscribe to Southern Remedy on any podcasting app to not miss any episode.
MPB Think Radio, this is Southern Remedy, Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And everybody that's on with me on Fridays knows I like to start off by saying Happy Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. First of all, I hope that everyone is being safe out on the roads. It has been a crazy morning with the weather. I left my house, skies look dark, rushed my children out of the car. We got them out before it poured down. And like literally 30 seconds later, it started pouring down. And I can't even tell you the last time I drove down 55 going about 20 miles an hour. But as I was headed in this morning when it was pouring down to my clinic first thing this morning, it was pouring down and we were going about 20 miles an hour on the interstate. So I say all that to say wherever you are across the state, please make sure you're being cautious and take your time on the roads. And as my mom would say, if you don't have anywhere to go, stay at home for those. So to all of our listeners, today we are going to be talking about kidney disease. I'll get to that in a moment, but I first want to acknowledge today is March 8th, that's International Women's Day. So for those of you who may not know, we have a day dedicated to women and hopefully taking the time to reflect and think about those inspirational women throughout the years. And so just a direct quote from the International Women's Day website: imagine a gender equal world, a world free of bias, stereotypes, and discrimination, a world that's diverse, equitable, and inclusive, a world where difference is valued and celebrated. Together we can forge women's equality. Collectively, we can all hashtag inspire inclusion. So 2024 theme, hashtag inspire inclusion. So just reflect on those things today and, you know, celebrate those women in your life that have done great achievements and remind them of how great they are and what an inspiration they are to you. And as I say all that, this is also March, which is Kidney Awareness Month. And as we talk about inspirational women, we have one of our local female nephrologists here with us. I have on Dr. Daphne Bilbrew, who's on with us today. Good morning, Daphne. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm so happy you were able to come on the show with us this morning. And as we know, in medicine, we have come a long way in medicine for women in general.
Yes.
There was a time where people didn't see many female doctors, and now I feel like people are welcoming female doctors, particularly because there's studies that have come out that say that patients sometimes do better when they're taken care of by female physicians. Sorry, guys, but there is data that is starting to back that up. So thank you for coming on this morning.
Yes, I appreciate you for inviting me.
Perfect. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Well, I'm actually a native of Mississippi. I grew up in the Delta. I went to Clarksdale High. And from there, I graduated from Tougaloo College. After college, I went to the University of South Alabama, where I did my medical school internship and residency. And then I decided to come back home. I did my fellowship at UMMC from 2005 and 2007. After I got my degree in internal medicine as well as nephrology, I then practiced in Gulfport, Mississippi for about almost 7 years. And then I came back to Jackson, where I'm now a practicing partner at the Central Nephrology Clinic. At this time, I am actually the medical director of the Fresenius Flowood Dialysis Unit. I am also the medical director for the Baptist Medical Center Dialysis Unit, as well as St. Dominic's.
Well, awesome. And as I mentioned before, talking about inspirational women, we have one on with us today who's doing great things here in the Jackson metro area. And so, as I mentioned before, the month of March is Kidney Awareness Month. So for those, their kidney doctor, also known as your nephrologist, is what Dr. Bill Brew does. So I always start all of my shows when we're talking about any particular disease process is a little bit of statistics and background information. So just a little background. About 1 in 7 adults, so that's about 15% of people in the United States, are estimated to have chronic kidney disease. So to me, that's a good bit. The interesting thing about it is that this, at least data is showing, about 9 out of 10 people are usually unaware that they have it. And I'm actually not surprised about that, because I'll get patients' labs, and you probably get this when they come to see you. And I was like, oh, so, you know, have you had problems with your kidney? Your kidney number's high. And they're like, no one's ever told me. And
exactly.
I look back and I was like, this number's been high for about 6 or 7 years.
Yes.
No one's mentioned it.
Yes.
So I'm not surprised by that statistic. About 9 out of 10 people are unaware that they have kidney disease. About 1 in 3 adults with diabetes have kidney disease. And diabetes is actually the top cause of kidney failure, causing nearly half of the new cases that we see. And about 1 in 5 adults with high blood pressure have kidney disease as well. And high blood pressure is the second most common cause of kidney failure and about 28% of new cases. So when y'all hear me talking about blood pressure all the time, on this show, this is why I call it the silent killer, because it can be affecting our body before we realize it. And we also know that African Americans are 4 times more likely to develop kidney failure when we compare it to others.
Yes.
Do you agree with it? Is this about what you see in your clinic as
and
units?
I definitely agree. One of the things that amazes me about patients, when they go to their primary doctors, they rarely ever ask to see their labs.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I try to institute or discuss with my patients. When you go to see a physician, or whether you go to see, just say you go to see a mechanic, you're asking for a job to be done, and you want proof that job has been done. Mm-hmm. So when you go to your primary physician, you want to be able to see the labs. You're paying them for a service.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to see the labs, and you also want them to be able to explain why they did the labs and what they mean. And I'm quick to tell them, if the physician doesn't have time to do that, you need to find another physician.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the issues as to why patients for so long don't know they have chronic kidney disease. Because the physician may be saying, okay, well, things are stable.
Right.
They go see their physician, everything's good, and they just take their word for it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you need to see data. And when I have patients to come in to see me, I always give them their labs, and we go through the labs one by one. And we also go through the different stages of kidney disease so that they understand. Because I just feel like patients overall with their health do better if they understand why they're doing something, why they're taking the medication, why this is important. So I think that's key.
I completely agree. And I always tell my patients, like, get you a notebook. I love my patients that come in with their notebook or their 3-ring binder, and they've got their papers, they've got their discharge summaries, they've got their labs, they've got their records. And I say, just carry your notebook and take down notes. And I write in their notebook for them.
Yes,
so, you know, I love that advice about asking for your labs if you don't get them. And also, too, we have this wonderful thing called technology. Many offices now offer patient portals.
Yes, definitely.
Where you can go in and see your lab. So tell us a little bit about what we mean by kidney disease.
So as you discussed, there are actually 2 types of kidney disease. You can have acute kidney disease and you can have chronic kidney disease. Typically, when you're talking about chronic kidney disease, there are multiple stages of that. So let's start off with acute kidney disease. Some patients, for example, if you went into the hospital and maybe you were dehydrated, that may have caused what we call acute kidney disease. Most patients with acute kidney disease will resolve, meaning that their kidney function will improve back to normal. Other things that can cause acute kidney disease, certain medications,
mm-hmm.
certain tests where you have to get dialed, like a heart catheterization can cause it. But overall, most of those with acute kidney disease will recover for the most part. Chronic kidney disease goes along with your long-term diseases like diabetes, which mm-hmm. is number 1. Number 2 being hypertension. There are other diseases like polycystic kidney disease, certain genetic diseases. All of those can lead to chronic kidney disease. And ultimately, our goal as far as being a nephrologist is for you never to get to the point where your kidney disease becomes to what we call end stage and you eventually become get on dialysis.
Yep. And that's, I feel like that's the hardest part about it is, like you said, just not knowing. And then people find out, and sometimes they're already at pretty advanced stages before they come aware and try to make those differentiations. So how do people have symptoms of kidney disease? Like, how do you know to be worried about kidney disease?
So it's kind of like hypertension. You know, for people that come into the hospital and their blood pressures are 200s, they may have been feeling fine, no issues, because it's always high. The thing about with kidney disease, you won't have symptoms until it's time for dialysis, which is very scary if you think about it. As there are different stages of kidney disease. There's actually 5 stages. And it's determined by the percentage or the filtration of the kidneys. And so typically you will not have symptoms, whether it be loss of appetite. You may be more somnolent, meaning you're sleeping more, may have loss of weight, swelling. Those things, you typically don't get that until the kidneys have failed. And so, unfortunately, lots of patients, like you say, they'll see you and you'll ask them, you know, have you ever been told you had chronic kidney disease? And they'll say no. And they say, I feel fine. I still urinate. I get that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I tell patients, I have patients that's been on dialysis for 10 years that still urinate. It has nothing to do with how much urine you put out. It's about how well the kidneys are able to remove the toxins in the body.
And you're so right on that one. And I think my most common thing is people, the minute their back hurt, they're like, doctor, you got to check my kidneys. And I'm like, and then they get so upset with me when I'm like, it's probably not your kidneys,
actually.
Exactly. And it's like, still check my kidneys, and I'm like, which I don't mind. I always am going to do those kind of things. But it's kind of like the blood pressure and headache. They're like, well, I didn't have a headache, so my blood pressure's fine. I'm like, no, that's not quite how that goes. But that's my favorite on kidneys. Yes. As soon as someone's back hurts, they're like, I need to check my kidneys.
And then they start drinking lots of cranberry juice. But when it comes to kidneys, nothing is better than water. Water is the key. I tell my patients, particularly my older patients who don't have that thirst or want to drink as much, you drink more water, it keeps you off dialysis. That's what that means. It's just that simple. You drink more water and we won't have to talk about dialysis. It's that simple.
I love it. And for those who might just start listening, we are talking about kidney disease because March is National Kidney Awareness Month. And I have on with me today Dr. Daphne Bilbrew, who is a local nephrologist in the Jackson metro area at Central Nephrology. So thanks again, Daphne, for being on.
Thank you.
So we started off the beginning of our segment talking a little bit about what is kidney disease, how it can happen very acutely, so that means out of nowhere, versus chronic kidney disease that has built up over time. And one of the things that Dr. Bilbrew really brought out was the importance of, you know, knowing your numbers, asking your doctors for the data. So when we're talking about kidney disease, what are we looking for? What are your doctors looking at?
So typically, whenever you see your physician, they should be getting what's called a renal panel or a basic metabolic panel. And in that panel, you're looking at a test that's specifically called creatinine. And what the creatinine is, it's a product that the body makes, and it's filtered through the kidney, so it tells us how well the kidneys are filtering. The other test that we're looking at is called the estimated glomerular filtration rate, or your GFR. And it actually tells us how well the kidneys are filtering. Now, this is an equation that we use, and it accounts for the creatinine level, and it also accounts for age. Over the last 20, 30 years, the GFR, initially the equation had race in it, meaning if you were black or white. And now the new studies have shown that that's incorrect, and we've taken race out of it. Because prior to that, with the estimated GFR, if you were a white patient, then your GFR would be lower compared to a black patient because of muscle mass. They accounted for your body mass index. But now we've seen that those studies have been incorrect throughout the years, and so now it just accounts for your age as well as that creatinine level. Unfortunately, with kidney disease, as we age, the amount of kidney function goes down. If you're 80, you're going to have chronic kidney disease. That's just part of the disease. because the kidneys, they tire out after a while, unfortunately.
And that's what I tell my patients. I was like, your kidneys have been working for 80 years.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yep.
So those are the two main tests that we look at to determine if you have any type of chronic kidney disease.
Okay. And then there's a newer test that I've seen, or maybe not new, but I feel like I've seen more people get it, particularly my patients in the hospital. And then I'm at UMC at an academic center, so I feel like residents are very excited, too, when they learn about additional lab tests. So tell us a little bit about the cystatin C. Like, what is that test? What is it helpful?
Yes, and I have to be honest, in private practice, we do not use that.
Okay.
So
yep,
that's mainly just academic. But with that, it's only associated equation is with age. Mm-hmm. It is a more specific test, and it's somewhat like a 24-hour urine collection. It's
okay.
More accurate. It is. But from a practical standpoint, I think from private practice, we just don't use it, quite
right.
honestly.
And honestly, I feel like everything I've read about it, it still has its own shortcomings.
Yes.
Because so much looks like it affects it, whether you smoke, if you've
yes.
got thyroid disorders,
yes.
if
yes.
you've got other things going on, it seems to affect that number. So I'm still trying to figure out how to use it, to be honest.
Yes.
Luckily, I have a lot of nephrologists that I text and ask, you know, on my own how to use it. But I, you know, most doctors, or the doctors you're seeing, are looking at the creatinine
yes.
or
the GFR,
like you mentioned, but I throw that out there because people talk and they're like, your doctor didn't get this special
yeah.
test on you. And so then they feel like their doctor's not taking good care
exactly,
of them.
Exactly.
So I always like to throw that out there. So how often should a doctor get a renal panel on you? Is that just a common test you recommend that people get, or because they have high blood pressure, or
yes.
how do you determine it?
So if you're seeing your physician every 3 to 6 months, they should be doing it every 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
Particularly in diabetics. So not only are we looking at the creatinine level, but we're also the early signs of kidney disease, you'll see protein in the urine.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be getting a urine sample, which shows if there's any signs of protein. Now, one of the things that you as a patient can notice if you're spilling out protein would be that when you urinate, you'll see bubbles in the toilet.
Okay.
The toilet, it would be like as if you put detergent in the toilet bowl, and it'll be bubbles. That's sign that you're spilling out protein. And those are the early signs that tell us there may be some damage to the kidneys.
Gotcha.
So those are the little things that we look at to determine if there's any kidney disease there.
Okay. Well, it looks like, Dr. Bilbert, we've got our first caller. So it looks like we've got Lisa from Madison. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us a little bit about your question.
Well, it may be silly, but over the years I have been tested, you know, for diabetes because of, you know, going to the bathroom way too much. Wondered how much Diet Coke affects that. I love my Diet Coke, but is it better for the kidneys not to? Does that have anything to do with maybe why they, you know, they said that I just have a small bladder, but I wondered the effect of that on kidneys.
So may I ask how many Diet Cokes you drink a day?
Well, I try to, you know, I get a large Diet Coke usually in the morning, and then I try to limit it just to that, but sometimes I might have another one, you know, during the day.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It is excessive. It is excessive. I try to drink water, too.
I promise you, Lisa, you're not by yourself.
No, believe me. And I tell...
That's my Diet Coke. That's my coffee.
Okay. And I tell most patients, I'm okay with you drinking pretty much anything as long as you're drinking water in the midst of that. So if you decide you want to have a Diet Coke for breakfast, then we need to be drinking water the rest of the day.
Okay.
You know, as long as you're drinking your water, you're okay. I can't say
okay,
that...
That's good to know.
You know, I can't say that the frequency that you're having is related to the Diet Coke. You know, there may be some other bladder issues that's not specifically of the kidneys, but maybe a bladder issue that may be going on. But definitely, as long as you're drinking your water throughout the day, you just don't want to be just drinking Diet Coke or just drinking Cokes or coffee or things like that. You just need to make sure you're drinking your water.
Okay, well, good. I'm doing that. And like I said, it's just been over the course of many years when that's going on that they're like, well, let's just test you. And I guess let's just say I have, you know, a bladder the size of a pea.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Okay.
So I'm glad to know that because I don't really want to give up my diet coke.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your question, Lisa. Well, I'm happy that Lisa brought that up. So that brings up another thing, because a lot of questions I get in my primary care clinic that people are worried about their kidneys, or not just the protein. They worry about protein. Mm-hmm. I have had people ask me, I've got bubbles, and I Googled that it, you know, is a concern with protein. But everyone's, what about like the color and odor? Like, is that a sign of kidney disease? It's a very common when they're like, Dr. Kinsey, like, it's just not right. Are my kidneys okay?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, it goes back to how much water you're drinking, how hydrated you are. So if you're drinking lots of water, you'll notice that your urine is almost clear like water.
Mm-hmm.
If your urine is very, very dark and concentrated, that means you're not drinking enough water.
Right.
So, you know, as far as any type of odor, that wouldn't, you know, signify a kidney disease. It may signify infection or something like that. But, you know, the color of your urine will change. You know, certain vitamins you're taking in, certain medications will change the color of your urine. Even some bladder medicines, like if you have a urinary tract infection and you're having bladder spasms, certain medicines will change it orange or red. So that's not uncommon. So, you know, the changes in the color of the urine don't really dictate that, oh, I have, you know, kidney failure, or I'm going to, I have chronic kidney disease.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for clarifying that. And I tell patients, we will check. Don't worry, I will check, but I don't think that's what's going on. Okay. So we talked a lot about, or mentioned a few times, you know, the kind of main risk factors: high blood pressure, diabetes, causing kidney disease as the top two causes. What are some other things that put people at risk that they should be worried about their kidneys?
So other things, there are genetic diseases that are inherited from family to family, one of those being polycystic kidney disease. Most patients don't know it. They find out they do a CT for some other reason, or they do an ultrasound for some other reason, and it shows they have multiple cysts. Again, this is a genetic disorder that can be passed on to children and other generations. There are new medicines out now that help with that, to reduce the cyst size, to reduce the risk of it progressing to the stage of dialysis. Other diseases, there are other genetic diseases that are more prominent in cancer patients, it's called membranous nephropathy, that some patients can get. Certain type of leukemias associated with it as well. You know, we have new studies now where, you know, the standard of care was to do a biopsy on a kidney. And now we have even new studies, where new findings, where we can actually do genetic testing, and it can tell us exactly why. Because a lot of times patients come in and they've had hypertension and diabetes for 15 years, and you just say that's the cause of your kidney disease. But that actually may not be it. And so now we have new testing where we can actually do genetic testing that tells us. So, for example, if your kidneys start to fail and you need a transplant, we know specifically what caused your kidney failure. So if you got a new kidney, that wouldn't affect the new kidney.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and a majority of what I see is the diabetes and hypertension, but every now and then I get a few of those that kind of, so I actually have a family with the adult polycystic kidney disease that I take care of, and so it's kind of neat to see that as well. So again, people also hear me say that, please don't hide your history from your loved ones.
Yes.
I know sometimes people are very private, but it can be life-saving, and so, you know, just being open and honest about your history for your family, that if they need the genetic testing or they're more prone to other things, that can do it. And we talk a lot about medications. What medications do you kind of tell your patients to avoid or be concerned about with their kidneys?
So the major thing is a class of drugs called anti-inflammatories. Unfortunately, most patients need this medication to function. So, for example, if you have a history of osteoarthritis, and the anti-inflammatories would be like ibuprofen, Aleve, Motrin, Celebrex, Mobic, any of those classes of medication. And I'm not saying, you know, you have a headache, you take a ibuprofen, that's fine. But for people who chronically need anti-inflammatories to function. So, for example, if you have a patient who has severe osteoarthritis and can't function, can't move, and they're taking celebrates every day over time that will cause damage to the kidney. It starts off by causing protein in the urine, and then eventually it starts to cause that creatinine level to go up, which will worsen your kidney function. And so for patients that I have that are chronically on those medications, I tell them that if all possible, alternating with maybe Tylenol, which is not as toxic to the kidney. Or if you have to take it, make sure you're drinking lots of water with it, or reduce how often you're taking it. So instead of every day, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if you know you can't function without it. But just knowing that over time, and it doesn't happen immediately, but over time, it can cause damage to the kidneys.
Exactly. Yeah. And I always throw this out there as well. So some antibiotics too, guys. I get people all the time like, oh, I had a cold and I had a little bottle of antibiotics up in there. Can't tell me how old it is, you know, kind of thing. So I want people to be aware that there are some antibiotics that we take that can affect our kidneys if you're having problems. So all that to say, if you've got chronic kidney disease, please take medications with caution and talk to your doctor about them in general. Now, the other common one that's come out, and even as an internist, I remain conflicted on, is the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors, those antacids, the studies that came out concerning about that being a associated with kidney disease. How do you counsel your patients on that? Is that one you stop? Or,
you know, I've had mixed messages with that, I guess. You know, for some of my patients who have severe reflux and can't be without it, then they continued. But other patients that said, okay, well, I can try, we'll stop it. I can't say that it improved their kidney function by stopping it. But then I had, like I said, I did have some patients who just couldn't function without them. So I can't really answer that quite honestly.
And it's hard. Yeah. And I get that question a lot. Yeah. And so I tell patients, I'm like, we're just going to watch your kidneys. Yes. So for people that are wondering, there's data out saying that maybe proton pump inhibitors like Nexium, Prilosec, those types of things have been possibly associated with long-term chronic kidney disease or increased risk. And so it's been a common question I've gotten, and that's kind of been my answer. And what I've talked to other nephrologists, that's kind of like, well, we just, like, of course, case by case basis, and keeping a close eye on your kidneys, and depending on the severity of your disease in general. From MPB Think Radio, this is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And just kind of recap, we have Dr. Daphne Bilbrew on with us. She is a nephrologist in the Jackson metro area at Central Nephrology. And we have just been discussing kidney disease. But just a few reminders for this Friday, it is International Women's Day, if people are just now listening in. So just remember those women that have been inspirational in your life, and reminding them of what a great job they're doing and how proud you are, and really reflecting on equality amongst women. Additionally, this is March, which is National Kidney Awareness Month as well. And so all for our topic today on kidney disease. So the first couple of segments, we've talked a little bit about what is kidney disease, how to diagnose it with your doctor, and all those types of things. So then the question becomes, I think, for many people is, when do I need to see a specialist? When do I, my doctor's told me I have kidney problems, or I've reviewed my labs, Dr. Bilbrew, and I've realized my creatinine's been up for years, when do I need to see you?
Well, I would say that when you get to what we call chronic kidney disease stage 3, there are actually 5 stages of chronic kidney disease. Stage 1 being if the kidneys are filtering more than 90%, particularly you see that in babies. What's considered normal in adults is anything above 60%. Stage 5 would be someone on dialysis less than 15. So we typically like to see the patients when they're at stage 3. So that would be between 30 and 60. Okay. And so at that time, there are certain medicines that we can use, hypertensive medicines, as well as other medicines that actually slow the progression of kidney disease. And studies have shown by seeing a nephrologist earlier that you're less likely to progress to dialysis if you're consistent with following up with them.
Gotcha. And usually is that some, I guess usually they just do that through their primary care.
Yes. Yep.
Just
yes,
kind of talk to your primary care doctor. So as I say each Friday too, if you don't have a primary care doctor, when the show ends, I want you to pick up the phone and get scheduled for kind of your yearly checkup and make sure that your blood pressure is looking good and you're screening for all the appropriate things that we have kind of talked about that are ultimately associated with kidney disease. So we talked a lot about lab values. So when do we take pictures of the kidney? Should we take pictures of the kidney or rely on the labs? Or
yes. So when you've been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, the first thing you want to do is to get an ultrasound of the kidneys, where we're actually evaluating the size of the kidneys. Particularly people who have diabetes-associated kidney disease will have large kidneys, versus people who have hypertension as the cause of their kidney disease. Your kidneys typically are smaller because the hypertension, the blood pressures are shrinking the kidneys. We're also looking for cysts, like the genetic disease that we talked about, polycystic kidney disease. We're also looking for any tumors or any blockage to the arteries or the veins that are associated with the kidneys. And so there are certain things on the ultrasounds that can be corrected and fixed that may actually be able to help the kidney function.
Gotcha. Yep, definitely. So that's you. And the nice thing about the ultrasound is you don't worry about that dye that we talk about.
Exactly.
And it's pretty, it's painless.
Yes.
I tell people it's just so a kidney ultrasound is just like we ultrasound looking at babies when you're pregnant, get
just
a little
put
gel
on there.
Get a little probe, and we get a good picture. The radiologist gets a good picture of your kidney. So nothing to be afraid about, nothing invasive.
Yes.
Just kind of gives us some baseline evaluation of your kidneys in general. So we talked a lot about, you know, what is kidney disease, diagnosing it, taking pictures of it. What are some complications that people can sometimes have with chronic kidney disease? We talk about getting to the nephrologist early, looking at those numbers, but what are some problems we can have with kidney disease?
So, of course, the biggest problem is dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
The kidney disease progressing to the point of needing dialysis. And so even with someone with chronic kidney disease, just stage 3, they have a higher mortality risk, higher risk of stroke, vascular disease, all of that comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is a lot of people, you don't realize what the kidney does. So, for example, the kidneys help to make a protein that helps to build your red cells. So typically people who have chronic kidney disease would be more anemic. It also deals with bone health, meaning that you may have low vitamin D levels, which can lead to bone fractures, osteoporosis. So the kidney does a lot of things, not just help you to urinate.
Right.
The kidney does a lot of things that can affect other things. But the biggest thing, the biggest complication, of course, is dialysis.
That you have to kind of down the road. And I usually tell patients, you know, if you have the kidney disease and you're that's another reason to follow up regularly, because
yes,
we're looking at those numbers. We're evaluating you, making sure you're not too anemic. Do
yes,
we need, you know, to treat that? If we're having thin bones, do we need to treat those thin bones? Or are we vitamin D deficient? Are those things that we need to replace? So a lot, some people come, they're like, well, why am I here? One question I got, why am I here, Dr. Kinsey? I feel fine. And I'm
let me tell you why you're here.
So I
your
tell
doctor
little,
thought you needed to be here.
Right. And so, or, you know, and the challenge I get, you know, I do try to get a lot of my patients to a kidney doctor around stage 3. And they're like, well, you can just watch my kidneys, doctor.
We do have that a lot. Because they trust
Kinsey,
their physicians.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times the primary physician is consulting with us as well.
Yep.
So that's okay with that. Particularly a lot of older patients.
Yeah.
Are, you know, and that's okay. But they just need to know. As long as the internist is explaining, you do have chronic kidney disease. Because
mm-hmm,
we don't want you not to be aware of that.
Right. Yep. And I'm with you on that one. But I'm also happy that I keep forgetting that I get to add that in my tool belt on the talk, that there's decreased mortality the
yes,
earlier we get them to
yes,
see you guys.
Yes.
And I also try to remind my patients, like, I have a lot to learn as a primary care doctor, and I do my best to stay up to date on the treatments. But sometimes I just like to get you to the specialist
exactly,
because there are things that are coming down the pipeline that I'm not aware of
mm-hmm,
always.
Yes.
And so that specialist is the one that's getting you what you need a lot faster sometimes mm-hmm, than I can, because maybe I haven't heard of the latest thing. You know, I tell everybody, medicine, you're always learning. We go to conferences, we learn about the new treatments and things like that. And so for those who are on the fence about why do I need to see a specialist, that's why, you know, we do our best as your primary care, but there's so many things that the specialist can offer and think about. That we ultimately don't think about either. So when we have these complications like anemia or bone stuff and kidney disease, how are patients, how do we treat that in our patients?
So, for example, with anemia, we have a product that we use. It's called Procrit.
Okay.
And it's a shot, an injection that patients would get once a month, and it would actually help to rebuild their red cells. So it's basically doing what their kidney can't do. It's supplying that protein needed to increase your blood counts. With as far as bone disease, we have, you know, vitamin D that we use. Also, we have other medications like Sensipar that will help to reduce the risk of osteoporosis or worsening bone disease.
Okay. Looks like we've got a caller. So we've got Samantha from Brandon. Good morning, Samantha. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I had a dear friend have a dear friend who donated one of her kidneys to her sister when she was going through dialysis. Then she didn't feel so well, so she went to the doctor and found that her GFR was elevated. Her GFR was 32. And she listened to a commentary by someone on MPB, when they're trying to raise money. And this physician talked about stop drinking water and drink only distilled water. And she began to do that, and then she also began to take something called, I'm not sure I can even say it, ashwagandha, some supplement that he recommended. Went back to her physician, and her GFR is now 52.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Samantha, for your comment. And I say that sometimes that's kind of tricky, but it might, you know, kind of go along with, a lot of supplements sometimes can help some patients, but it's hard when we talk about supplements because they're not as regulated. I've had a show on supplements. They're not as regulated as some of the other things. But I'm really happy that your friend is doing well.
So am I. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you have a good Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we're going to move on to our next caller. We have got Curtis in Indianola. So good morning, Curtis. How are you?
All right.
Well, perfect. Tell us a little bit about your question.
Yes. What food caused your creatinine level to be high, or what foods to avoid creatinine level?
There's no particular food that would cause the creatinine to be elevated. I guess it's mainly what's the underlying cause of the kidney insufficiency. So, for example, if you have high blood pressure or diabetes, but there's no specific food that would cause the creatinine to be elevated.
Okay.
Had you heard that before? Or
I was just asking. I wasn't sure. My creatinine level was high one time, but I don't have high blood pressure. I'm not a diabetic or anything like that.
Okay.
Did
your physician ever, did they ever figure out what caused it to be elevated? Like, were you, like, dehydrated at the time, or were you on any kind of medications, whether it be over-the-counter or prescribed medications?
I think the only thing it was, I might have been taking ibuprofen.
Yes, sir. So that definitely would have. Yes, yeah, that definitely would have gotten it, caused it to be elevated. We talked about, you know, any type of anti-inflammatory medicine. If you're taking a large amount over a consistent period of time, it can cause that creatinine level to go up.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then.
But you're not taking that anymore, right?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. And your creatinine's better, right?
Yes.
And we're drinking lots and lots of water.
Yes, I drink plenty of water.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right track, Curtis. Well, we appreciate your question this morning. Thank you. No problem. And I'm going to get right to our call, so hopefully I can catch these last few callers' questions. So I have Preston from Grenada. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning. I was just calling because my wife has got some kind of urinary issue. And they're saying that it's an overactive bladder. And I was just wondering what the connection between a bladder and the kidney is.
So meaning a bladder infection versus a kidney infection?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you think about the kidneys, and just if you visualize, you know, you have your two kidneys, there are two tubes that your urine passes through to go into the bladder. So when you have an overactive bladder, meaning that sometimes the urine is not completely emptying, so that urine backs up, and then that's how you can get infections. Sometimes if the bladder, if there are certain nerves, particularly in people who have diabetes, they have certain nerves that don't function well, and the bladder is just not able to empty like it should. And so these patients are more likely to have urinary tract infections. They're likely to have sometimes incontinence and sometimes just painful urination.
So it sounds like an infection then.
Well, not all the time. Not all the time. It could be something, like I say, with the nerves, that the nerves that are that they're supplying the bladder, they're just not able to function well enough to empty the bladder like it should. And so, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, is there something, I mean, what would be a typical thing you can cure that with?
So there are medications for women. There are medicines like Flomax, Mybetric, which reduces, you know, so it's not as functional. I mean, excuse me, it's not as, it doesn't function like that. Other options would be some patients have actually done Botox, where they actually inject Botox so that the bladder empties like it should. And so she likely needs to see a urologist, and they specialize in bladder issues.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
No problem. You have a great morning. Thank you, Preston, for your call. And we're going to move to our next caller, JT, here in the Jackson area. Good morning, JT.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, fine as frog. Hair split four ways.
Well, tell us a little bit about your question this morning, Mr. JT.
Well, I really wanted to question. Doctors have told me that I've got a cyst in my kidney. And that it's located right where the blood comes into the kidney. And therefore, they don't really recommend surgery. They just say watch it and check up every 3 months.
Yes, sir. So as we age, it's very common for us to develop cysts in the kidneys. That's just part of the aging process. And so as typically when they do an ultrasound or a CT or an MRI where they actually look at the cyst, they determine if it's a simple cyst or a complex cyst. And so they are telling you, right, you know, you just watch it every 3 months, make sure that it's not growing into something else, it's not getting larger in size or becoming complicated where it can develop infection or bleed into the cyst. So, you know, that's very common as we age to develop cysts in the kidneys.
Well, one doctor says that it's blood cyst and won't ever amount to anything.
Yes, sir. Yes,
no,
sir.
But I wouldn't leave it in there.
He told you he would not leave it in there?
That's what he said.
Okay. Okay. Well, I definitely agree with them, you know, following it every 3 months just to make sure that it's not progressing to anything else.
Well, I appreciate the word and the role.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call, Mr. JT. And we're going to move on to our last caller of the morning. We've got George in Mobile. How are you, George?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Tell us about your question.
Well, a lady called in and said her friend was told to drink distilled water with something. So if, and you didn't comment on this, I'm not a doctor. I'm a doctor. I'm doctor engineer, but not a physician. So if you drink only distilled water, isn't that all the minerals are going out with your urine?
Yeah, yes, sir. You're correct. I don't recommend only distilled water. And she also mentioned about other type of herbals. You know, at this time, from a medical standpoint, there is no data that says one way or the other. So that's essentially why I didn't respond. I do have patients that only do spring water, distilled water. I have a patient now that she only drinks well water, and her kidney function has improved. But again, from the studies, it has not shown that would improve kidney function.
I hope that answers your question, George, this morning. We appreciate it. And thank you, Dr. Daphne Bilbrew, for being on with us this morning. I hope everyone has learned a lot about kidney disease. Southern Remedy Women's Health is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and is funded in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and generous support from listeners like you. Today's show was engineered by Abram Nani. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey. Join us next Friday at 11 for Southern Remedy Women's Health. And stay tuned for NPR's Here and Now, coming up next on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.